Hello, everybody, and welcome to Spiritual Successor, a comedy video game design podcast where we take your lovely, nasty, awful video game ideas from all over the internet and turn them into the next AAA video games, or experiences, or products, or marketing, whatever we're feeling that week. I'd even be willing
to make a book at this point. I don't know what the fuck we do here anymore. We really play Calvin Ball with it.
Have we ever made a book? That would be super fun, actually.
I don't know, man. We made an anime before. We probably haven't made a book. I don't read. You know this about me.
Wait, but I could have swore you read. You're such a learned man. I would assume that, like, you have...
Books are the language of the devil. I would never read.
All right. Okay. I am one of your hosts, Blake Rea.
And I am your lovely and sick host, AJ Hart. If you guys think to yourselves, wow, AJ, you really feel like shit, just know I don't. I feel like a god, and I always do. And take my disease as no sign of weakness.
Honestly,
if any of you wanted to try to step up to me, I would still be able to smite you down in a breath.
I mean, honestly, you have such god energy flowing through your blood right now that it's literally leaking out of you. Like, you have to cough out the excess, and like your leaky nose is like getting rid of all of the extra god fluid going through you. That's just how godly you are right now.
If some of you think that you're capable of holding a single fraction of the might of myself, why don't you come over here and eat my tissues? Yeah, that might be the grossest thing I've said on the air, huh?
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like that at all. Disgusting. No, I was telling AJ before the episode started, of like, I'm like really sensitive to just sounds of people being gross. So just sitting here for like the last half an hour to AJ like just building that mountain of tissues next to his desk is like, yeah, that's been a pleasant experience. I feel bad though, because my boy's sick. AJ, why don't we do like a little bit of a quickie episode today? That way you can get back to bed, have some vegetable broth, and just unwind and relax today. Unless you have work today.
Vegetable broth would fucking hit.
Dude, I actually had, like, I have always heard that people like, oh yeah, drink broth when you're sick. I've never done that in my life. And then last time, like a month ago, I got like really fucking sick, like bedridden sick. And I was like, you know what? I let me try this broth thing. And that was like the only thing I had for like 3 days straight. And it was wonderful. I didn't feel filled up at all, but it was just like, oh yeah, nice little sippy on a warm beverage cools my, it relaxes my throat, and it tastes good, because I mean it's like beef broth. I know you can't have that, but it was.
I can't have beef broth.
It's very tasty.
The closest I could really do is vegetable broth. You know what Jax and I do when one of us is sick is we make this horrible concoction that we call hell toddy.
What is hell toddy?
Hell toddy is Earl Grey tea, honey. Hot water, of course, because it is a tea.
Nah, you should have left that one out. I want that overrated.
Chipotle seasoning. Garlic.
A little bit of whiskey. What the fuck is wrong with both of you? You're really meant for each other.
Dude, hell toddy is a nightmare concoction, but let me tell you, it will clean your whole business.
I think all of that shit is just unneeded, save for like the seasoning and the whiskey, because I feel like the whiskey and the seasoning are doing the heavy lifting of like 86ing anything you have in your palate.
Nah, dude, garlic will mess up your sinuses.
Garlic. Just what the fuck is wrong with both of you? That's disgusting.
That's what I thought too, dude. Hey, I'm gonna keep it real with you. It's really gross.
How many iterations of hot toddy was there before you or Jack settled on this recipe?
This is an old Jax recipe. Jax had this recipe for themselves. I presume they picked it up from their dad or maybe their mom. Mm. But yeah, Hell Toddy is not an original. It's a legacy recipe.
Here's the thing. Here's the reason why I think it works. I actually think it's a placebo. It's just...
Sorry, not chipotle. It's cayenne pepper.
Okay. Yeah, that makes more sense than chipotle powder. You're just so caught up in how disgusting that experience was that you just forget about being sick for like 5 minutes. I don't think it... I have yet to try the hot toddy. I mean, I have yet to be sick around either of you two.
The hell toddy.
The hell toddy.
And you know what the worst part about the Hel-Tawny is? It's not the taste. It's that it works so good that your brain makes you think it tastes good. And now at this point, I think it might taste good. I think I've been Pavloved into being like, oh, Hel-Tawny, the nightmare drink that makes my body feel good. Yeah, we love Hel-Tawny.
Yeah, I think there's some weird merit in that because like I think about certain drinks I've had. Like I used to hate kombucha because it did taste like fucking rancid apples. But now I'm like, oh yeah, kombucha, how refreshing. That sharp, just fermented, gross taste. Yeah, I could get into that. I'm down for that. I'll pay $5 for one of those.
You know what my issue with kombucha is? I wish it was half as powerful. Like, I had a day where I was walking around and I was like, I want something to drink, but I don't want it to be sweet. And I want it to be like if I could get like a nice little elixir of something or like like a mocktail. Like, I want something that's, like, kind of bitter and, like, yeah, you know, like a cocktail. Like, I want the cocktail flavor palette, but I didn't want something, like, alcoholic because I was walking around for the day. So, like, a nice elixir would hit.
Just drink cold green tea. And you could water it down.
I didn't have access to cold green tea.
But you had access to kombucha?
I had access to kombucha.
I mean, I feel like you can get cold green tea at pretty much any place.
I don't like green tea.
I don't know. Okay. Well, yeah, hey. Oh, crap. I'm getting sick.
Are you sick, too?
No, I had, like, wild coughs last night. All right. Before we jump into the episode, there is something I wanted to chat about because I think I've had beef with it on the show before. For a while, those that don't know or are just tuning into the podcast, I'm sorry. I know AJ's sick in your first episode. That's disgusting.
It's not gross. I'm editing out all of the noses. Blake, act like for a second I'm a professional that knows how to blow my own fucking nose. God, I'm 27 years old.
I have a feeling because you mentioned how tight your turnaround of editing on this one's going to be. I think a couple nose blows are going to get through because
have
the same time.
What a bad time to be sick. I haven't even been able to tell the audience about my nightmare schedule right now.
Yeah, you just started a new schedule with new work and shit like that. Do you want to tell the audience about it before I tell my little story?
Yeah, guess who's got two jobs now, dorks? Yeah, you guys heard me last week being like, oh, wait, I have no money. I got two jobs, and now I'm working from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m.
Fucking ouch.
It's so much, brother. Yeah. So much.
I could tell, like, you've only been doing it for 3 days now, and, like, I can already...
And now my body's already shutting down. Can you believe that?
Yeah, I mean, bro, we're not, like, 22 anymore. We can't, like, just... how cliche it is to say, but like we're not as young as we used to be. We're not.
That doesn't seem fair to me. We got locked in the house for 2 years. I should be just as young as I was when the pandemic started as I am right now.
Yeah, you're right. The government should hand out like age checks.
Fuck
like
the government. My body. I'm willing to strike a deal with God. Like, hey, man, just rewind the clock for me for 2 years, please. Let me be 25 again.
Jesus, man. I don't know. I feel like, as wild as those 2 years were, I feel like I did a lot of growth during those 2 years. Or it's just like I did like a lot of like growing as an individual and like reanalyzing the people I hang out with and my relationship with art and stuff. I don't know. Maybe that's because like I still had to work through it. Like I wasn't like I didn't get to just stay home and just do nothing.
You had to go to your job still.
But yeah, so I still had my day job and I was like the only one fucking working there because I was working for my family at the time. So like somebody needed to keep working, to make sure the business didn't go under. And I don't know. I just like I spent a lot of time. I didn't really get a break. And I think I'm still very tired. But here's the thing. Here's a cool little thing I wanted to share with the audience. I, for the longest time, and this is you're probably gonna hate me when I say this, I really fucking didn't like Lord of the Rings. I thought it was boring. I thought it was boring. I thought it was generic. I thought it was just like grossly overhyped and shit like that. And
that's crazy because you seem like such a Boromir head.
You mean the guy that dies? The guy that gives into his temptation and gets fucking 86 for it?
You say it. You throw shit at him like, oh, the one guy that gave into temptation. That's the whole fucking ring's deal. literally, the fact that Frodo isn't tempted by it is bizarro, nutso, crazy.
No, no, he is super tempted by it. Like, it is also like. We made a drinking game of every time, like, Frodo made the sex face when he's getting tempted by the ring. So he was very much tempted by it. He's like,
Boromir's just a guy. He's so just a guy, Coded.
He's just a bro. Just a guy that tossed into a situation. But then you have Aragorn, who's also just a guy, but, like, nah, he wasn't tempted at all.
Bro, okay, you're right. Aragorn, the just a guy. The guy that, like, within two lines of knowing him, you're like, this is Aragorn, a human man that's been alive for 5 billion years.
Yeah, he's like... he's only been around for, like, 200 years, I thought.
That's so long for humans! You know how long Boromir was around for? 26.
Yeah, he did die super young, didn't he? So, I have always disliked Lord of the Rings, and as I've... been around friends that engage with it, you know, and doing like our Lord of the Rings annual nights and stuff. I've come to like my understanding of it and my appreciation for it has grown and changed. Like my initial issue with it was I would watch it and like, oh, these are all tropes I've seen before, all this stuff. But then, you know, of course you need to remember.
Kind of like how when I watched 2001 Space Odyssey, I was like, I watched the aliens or the robots get to betray them. And it's like, yeah, dog, because they're all taken from this movie.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, you need to remember, like, this is the tale that made all of that shit, like, popular. So it was like, just on a whim, like, 2 days ago, I was like, you know what, fuck it. I think it's time. I'm going to start reading the Lord of the Rings books. And holy shit, are they fantastic, AJ. They are fucking wonderful. The whimsical language, just the prose, the amount of detail, just how fucking dense this shit is. Remember in the movies, because I don't think you've read the Lord of the Rings books, right?
Nope, I have not. Again, reading is the devil's language.
Yeah. So you know, like, when Gandalf leaves Frodo and he's like, I need to go investigate this ring. And then he's like, he kind of comes back what seems like the following night. To be
yeah,
like,
it's supposed to have been a while that passed.
It's
right?
Like fucking 20 years passes between.
Jesus, what?
Yeah. It's like Bilbo lives a whole ass like 17 years actually, because it was his 33rd birthday, and then he comes back when he's like just turns 50. Frodo's 50 when he begins his adventure, my man. He's an old man when the Lord of the Rings begins.
No, he's not an old man. Hobbits also live for a billion years.
No, they don't. And that's another thing that they don't really touch on in the movie. The ring basically pauses your life when it's in your possession. So, like, as long as you have it, you just stay whatever age you were when you grabbed it or when you took it or whatever. But no, like, it's just... all the language is super cozy and just so well thought out. And, like, you would think it would be laborious of, like, how much it's like, oh, yeah, I know we were in the middle of this plot thing, but let me tell you, like, let me do, like, 30 minutes of just explaining how the history of this one specific item or this one specific place.
They went as fast as the God Horse. So about that God Horse. Let me tell you about the God Horse.
It's so... You would think on paper it would be so fucking cheesy, but it's not. It's so good. It's so fucking timeless and wonderful, and I'm so excited to read more of it. Oh, beautiful, beautiful. There's one line.
You're going to go through the whole trilogy?
Oh, yeah, 100%, and then I'm probably going to read The Hobbit.
I read The Hobbit. Hold on. Wait, you just unlocked something. I have read The Hobbit.
Oh, shit. What was your thoughts on The Hobbit? What was early AJ's thoughts on The Hobbit?
I was 9. It's a good book. It has a dragon in it.
Like, has dragon, has treasure.
I like the bit where they fight the three giants. That was cool.
Oh yeah, they're all in. They're caught getting them to fight one another or some shit.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's a whimsical little story that I read as a child.
What are your thoughts on the Hobbit movies? Of being a Hobbit book aficionado, it being one of your favorite books of all time.
I think that they had a lot going against them when they said we're going to make movies in the same world as Peter Jackson's Lord of the Rings. And they thought to themselves, that does seem like an insurmountable goal. What if we didn't try at all?
Wait, hold on a second. I thought Percy Jackson...
I actually don't like the Hobbit movies very much.
But I thought Peter Jackson directed The Hobbit.
It's crazy how somebody can be really good at one point in their life and bad the next. Yeah. I don't know. I think I didn't like The Hobbit very much. Not for any real reason that I can really like vocalize. It's probably been too long since I've like sat down and thought about it deeply. But I think that as a trilogy, the Lord of the Rings trilogy works really good from one to one to one. And like you get to see escalation in the conflict kind of rise. And it's really disheartening in the Hobbit trilogy when they spend two movies building up the big scary dragon and then he's taken care of in the first 10 minutes of the third movie. That's just disappointing when you enter a movie called like the Battle of the Five Kingdoms and you think to yourself, whoa, one of those kingdoms is just one whole ass dragon.
Also, I do
and love, then it isn't.
I do love the naming of the second movie, The Desolation of Smaug, and it's like the movie ends with him flying before doing the desolation.
And you're like, there it is. Yeah, he's going like, to desolate so much. And they're like, no, we actually, thank goodness, we knew there was a dragon living in the town next door, so we built a big anti-dragon gun. And let me tell you, the Dragonator works.
The Dragonator 3000. Jesus. All right, AJ, is there anything you want to chat about before we go into the next episode? Or, sorry, no, before we go into, oh, okay, sweet. Do you want to give the first game submission, or do you want me to?
You give me the first submission this week while I blow my nose again.
All right, this one comes to us on Reddit. Oh my God. This one comes to us from Reddit from Carsonic at Nip. A video game adaption of what that AI Willy Wonka thing should have been. AJ Hart, did you follow this at all?
I followed it very minimally.
Oh my God.
Some mall wanted to do a Willy Wonka attraction.
Yes.
I don't even believe it was officially licensed through Paramount or whatever, or Warner Brothers.
No, it wasn't.
They just wanted to do like a fun Willy Wonka event, which is fair. I got a couple malls in my neck of the woods that will do fun little events every now and again. They do like a one-day convention that's really cute.
Oh, that's is it like just like a one-day anime convention?
Yeah, it's a one-day anime convention. They bring in a bunch of artists to do like to sell stuff, and then they like block out part of the parking lot for people to park their cool anime cars. And so, like, I'm used to malls doing things like this. I think they're really cute, and more malls should do stuff like this. But this company decided that they wanted to do – they didn't have anything prepped for marketing material, and so they just AI-generated Willy Wonka experience posters everywhere.
Oh, we live in the worst timeline. I fucking hate this. No.
But when you use a bunch of whimsical, loud posters saying Willy Wonka experience, people are going to start thinking that you have really loud, whimsical Willy Wonka experience to provide. And this mall wasn't really prepared for a Willy Wonka experience in the same way that they're prepared for a Santa photo.
Yeah. I think... it is just every image out of it is a relic that should be maintained for the rest of time. Specifically, just the picture of the of the one Oompa Loompa they had, whereas they just look so fucking unhappy to be there, and they look like they just fucking smoked a giant joint before walking into work. It is very funny to me, and I think it should be referenced till the end of time. So for somehow you haven't heard about this, somebody basically designed...
they made a haunted house.
They made... that's giving it too much credit. They basically created this gigantic ad campaign, and I think each ticket was like $25, $20. It was like, it wasn't a crazy amount of money per ticket, but it was like, it was substantial enough. And basically when people showed up to it, it was literally just a fucking empty warehouse with like sporadically placed lollipop stands. There was like one chocolate river slat with a bridge over it, and I think the water was like dyed brown, but it was still very like did not look like chocolate. And there was one Oompa Loompa over like a chemistry set, and it looks like they were making meth. It was fucking terrifying. So And it resulted in people calling the fucking police. The parents.
Do you not know about the haunted house aspect of it? Because there was a plot line for this experience.
There was a plot line? What do you mean there was a plot line? What?
There was like a little speaker system that would be telling the story of what was happening and how there was an evil chocolate maker. And then as you walked around the little like Willy Wonka experience, there'd be this dude in a silver mask that would jump out from behind mirrors and scare children.
What the fuck? Oh my god, wait a second. It was $40. $40 for that. Oh no.
I've probably paid more for stupider things.
No, you haven't. You're pretty responsible with your money. I don't think you've ever spent it on anything stupid.
Thank you so much. So Fate Grand Order's guaranteed gotcha is coming around next week.
I mean, you know what you're getting with that. Like, I think there are certain things like, look. We're part of the generation that's never going to own a fucking house. So like I feel like there are worse things we can do with our money. You know, buying like, hey, this game I like, it has pretty JPEGs and cool adaptions of famous historical and mythical characters. I get something from that. All right. Yeah. I also.
So what are we thinking for a video game here?
So I think this is one of the rare situations where everything should be AI generated, but I have a caveat to this. It should not be using current AI, because current AI is pretty fucking good and pretty accurate. I want to do a game that's all like generation one AI designed. So where like the Will Smith eating spaghetti video, that kind of shit. So is there an experience?
The what?
Wait, you don't know this? You have to be shitting. No. This is people's touchstone of how good AI has come. So watch the Will Smith eating spaghetti AI from 2023 versus 2024.
Whoa, this is crazy. His jaw's moving so much.
Yeah. Isn't it, and are you seeing like the new iteration of it?
No, I think I like this one way more.
No, it's what's it called? What is it called? There's this new one, Sora. Yeah. Sora's like spaghetti AI video is basically just indistinguishable. It's
Sora made a video of Will Smith eating spaghetti?
The AI Sora. Oh my god. It's insane. It's insane to see how far like this technology has come. I don't know. I have like very strong feelings about the use of AI. And this, Jesus Christ, this is so weird that he's.
Are you talking about the TikTok Will Smith video that he just uploaded of him eating spaghetti backwards?
Wait, isn't.
Hey, dog, you might have gotten punked by an FMV.
No, there's, it's, no, this has to be Sora. I think he did like a little add-on where he was like, it's like the end of the video.
No, dog, I think that's just him recording himself having fun. Hey, I don't know if you know this or not, but humans sometimes will post things on the internet and lie.
No, AJ, I think this... No. I think this is video by action. Will Smith parodies viral AI. No, did I get punked? Son of a bitch. God
you
damn.
Got punked by the internet. You silly Billy. Yeah, dog, this is on his official TikTok account.
I'm honestly actually very relieved. This is good to know actually. Yeah, fuck it. AI is not as good as I thought. Thank
okay
Christ.
Hear me out. You're on to something though. What if we just filmed an FMV, real humans, real people, real bodies.
But called it AI.
All in a recording event. And then just marketed it as an AI video.
Holy
game.
Shit. That's fucking next level thinking. Holy shit.
Hey, well, did you hear about what Dragon's Dogma just did?
No. What did they do?
So the Dragon's Dogma video game has a cutscene with some grilled meat. Mm-hmm. And they're just grilling some meat. And the game wanted to go for an art direction that was pretty photorealistic on that meat. And then the director said, well, shit, dude, if we're going to be putting all this processing power and time and energy to make realistic looking meat, why don't we just get a real camera and record some meat?
Let me Dragon Dogma meat.
Dragon's Dogma FMV meat. Maybe just Dragon's Dogma meat will pull it up.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. That's just straight up real ass meat. Look at that.
No, dog. It's AI generated.
It is? What? I got fooled twice now?
No, it's not. I'm punking you again. Oh, no, that's an FMV. That's just a real that's just real footage of real meat being grilled. And they put it in the video game. They could have said it was AI generated, and then everyone would have been like, yo, Capcom's on some next level shit.
God damn. I fucking hate how AI has just been worming its way into everything. I'm like,
you're just saying that because you just got punked by it.
No, I also No, I think that's hilarious. I think it is absolutely hilarious that I believed that. It's so stupid.
I love that they just said, fuck it, we're not going to continue making realistic-looking game. We're just going to make the meat.
We're just going to make real. I mean, like, that's just a, like, a small...
It's a real, we have realistic meat being grilled at home.
Yeah. It's like, why invest all the time and energy? Well, we could just pay a day player, like, just get him, like, a nice little set. And
well, don't
meat.
Undersell it. There's obviously a fire here, so they had to hire a fire marshal.
No, I bet you Japan. I'm assuming.
Are you proposing that Dragon's Dogma is being done without the union protections for their video games?
Brother. Every time I hear about Japan's working conditions, I am astounded. They are not. Actually, no. Now that I think about it, when it comes to safety, they are pretty rigorous. They are pretty like rigorous, and there is a lot of paperwork to be involved in that. They just expect.
How much? Sure, man. I don't know anything about working in Japan on account of me living in America my whole life.
You should listen to. They talk about it during the in the Trash Taste podcast, where it's like they just talk about like how working conditions and how everything is very different. Speaking of working conditions, AJ, I want to tell you a little bit of a nightmare thing. Little Blake tangent here. My work is the base or the main base for it is out of Shenzhen, China, and some coworkers of mine came over from China and I hung out with them and I was chatting with them. Like we were just talking about like how work life balance differs from like here from China. Did you know that when you show up to and apparently this is very common. When you show up to work at certain businesses in China, they scan your face, and that is your clock-in card, and that's how they know that you arrived on time. And
oh, that's okay.
That's weird. They make sure you. No, I don't like that.
I mean, I've been at places where I had to scan my thumb, and also I've been to schools where you have to go through a metal detector to go in. So, like, I really feel like I'm not in the best position to criticize anyone's welcome public. To the perimeter of safety criticisms.
Okay. All right. Let me hit you with this one then. You're allowed to be 15 minutes late.
Uh-huh.
Consecutively a month. So, like, you only have 15 minutes total to be late through the entire month.
Dog, you've got to get, I'm so happy for you. You need to go work for more shitty bosses. I've had people say that if you are late, like, if you are not clocking in before your designated time, and that happens twice, you are laid off.
Whoa, really? Fuck. Yeah, I guess I've had it.
I can assure you.
I guess I've had a
job rules
in my
get
mouth.
Crazier than that.
Okay, I guess I need to check my privilege a little bit on this one. all right, let's go back to this marketed as AI experience. So,
well, why don't we put a pin in it and try to find another video game?
All right. Well, it's your turn to give me a
game
submission.
I feel like we lost the thread a little bit, so I want to just reel us back into something new.
Yeah, I feel like we're in fever dream mode right now, just kind of like talking about a bunch of random shit.
This comes from me in 2024. Perfect Vision still hates golf. At Dust in Your Eyes. Gabagools. Monsters versus monsters.
Gabagool. I love that. Okay. Why'd you pick this submission? What are you envisioning for it?
Because the idea of mowing down a werewolf with a Tommy gun makes my brain resonate and hum and start doing static noises because it sounds so fucking cool.
It's pretty rad. Wait, wasn't there what was that video game you played that was kind of like The Order or something?
1882's The Order?
Yeah. I remember you being really disappointed with that game.
I'm sorry, the Order 1886. Here's the thing about The Order 1886. I was disappointed with that game, but that doesn't mean that I didn't fucking love that game.
Really?
Oh, okay. My God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, a stupid cover-based shooter? Yes. Fool Tesla-based technology where you get to use a railgun to shoot a werewolf? Hell yeah. Werewolves are the bad guys in general. That's always fun. Was the story the most excellent? No. Did it leave on a weird cliffhanger? Yes. Were the boss encounters a really bad, like, press X to dodge sequence? Also, yes. But man, if this game didn't have the flavor.
The flavor.
Okay. So we're done with The Order 1886. We get a sequel. The Order 1926. We're going to Tommy Guns. We're going to... 1926 was around the times of Tommy Guns, right? And mobsters?
Yeah, it's the Roaring Twenties. Yeah, the typewriter...
They're called the Roaring Twenties because of how many werewolves there were.
Holy shit, that's the name of the game. The Roaring Twenties. Okay, so what is the genre you're picturing for this? Do you want to do like... I would love... Here, I think we need more supernatural open world games. I would love a...
You and Ubisoft both, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, Ubisoft is no longer a touchstone for me. After Assassin's Creed 2, I kind of just dropped... Actually, no, Assassin's Creed Black Flag, I just dropped out. I was just kind of like, this, everything here sucks now. Is formulaic and boring and whatever. I don't like Ubisoft. I would love something a la like a Rockstar game, but supernatural. Like the depth and the explorability of like a Rockstar open world, but there's just fucking supernatural shit going on. So like, actually, you know, it would be really a really good point of reference for this is Pulp Cthulhu. Have you played any of that or heard of any of that?
I have not played Pulp Cthulhu.
It's just the Call of Cthulhu game, the Call of Cthulhu RPG, but you are a pulp fiction or a pulp hero where you can like actually fist fight Cthulhu ass monsters. And this kind of has the same energy of what you're going through. So what if we did our own like Roaring Twenties detective game, but you are hunting down like various supernatural things? Or
you're on the right avenue with like a Rockstar style game, because I think one touchstone that I think of when you say mafia style game, Rockstar, scary monsters everywhere in a big open world,
mm-hmm.
Baby, we got Mafia 2.
I never played the first one, but
that's fine. I don't think you need to play Mafia 1. You need to play Mafia 2. Reading for me, AJ Hart.
Okay. Can we...
Blake, it's Call of Duty, but you're using old 1920 cars, and so, like, they're super slow.
So it's like...
Not Call of Duty. Sorry. Wow. I'm sick. I got sick brain.
Yeah.
It's Grand Theft Auto, but in the 1920s, so everybody's driving slow cars.
Do you mean L.A. Noir?
L.A. Noir's in the same vein, yes.
I think L.A. Noir is like a 1920... Is it? No, it's not 1920s. I thought it was like 1930s, 1940s L.A.
But you get the idea. We're doing an open world game in this old time world where like cars are slow. If you get something that can go 60 miles per hour, holy shit, dude.
So it's basically an open world game, but everything moves and operates just horribly slow, but the cutscenes and gunfight scenes are super fun. That kind of motivates you to deal with that. All right, I want to pitch you on a little narrative thing here. This is something I wish I would see more in media. So, like, let's look at the traditional paradigm. Like, you have vampires and werewolves. Vampires are always, like, high society, sophisticated, and then, like, werewolves are the everyman. What if we fucking ditch that and make, like, high society is nothing but werewolves? So you show up to, like, a roaring, like, 20s party, and it's a bunch of, like, fancily dressed werewolves just going fucking, like, feral. And here's the other question that we want to dive into: is our main character, do they become a werewolf? And now we have that dynamic.
So it's a like mafia story as told by you are a human that has just been turned. No, because it's monsters versus werewolves. We need to keep that.
We want
to
keep that. Okay. I love this aesthetic already. What city do you want this to be in?
Also, it's monsters versus mafia. So, like, we should have a couple different factions. A werewolf faction, a vampire faction, a Jersey Devil faction.
Okay, Jersey Devil.
What if we just Ubisoft this bitch up? Do you remember playing Saints Row 3 or Saints Row 2? And how, like, every faction had their own gimmick to the enemies that would show up when you were, like, dealing with heat from them? Man, hey, now that I think about it, the faction system and, like, different enemies having different heat levels and, like, kind of operating mechanically different in a big open world map has been something that's been lost as we continue to make maps bigger and bigger and bigger, is they feel more and more samey. Do you feel that way the same as well to me? This was a sentence I said with my mouth.
I've put my AJ is sick ears on, so like I just like, all right, make sense of what he just said. or just assume that
I'm gonna start over and I'm gonna use little words.
Okay.
Saints Row 2 faction system. But the blue guys were all zippy and lightningy and could slide around super fun, which made them hard to shoot with your human gun.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had red group, which was full of huge super guys that were bulletproof.
Mm-hmm.
If you go over to Infamous, we have factions where, like, there's the lightning faction, there's the stone faction that could put up shields.
Fuck, this is right.
Nowadays, when you play Assassin's Creed, it says, hey, we got army guys here. And you're like, okay, well, what about way up north? And they're like, we got more army guys up there.
But they look
well,
different.
What about way down south? And they're like, well, let me check my notes. It says more army guys down there. And they aren't going to feel very different. This is one of my bigger problems also with Ghost of Tsushima. Mm-hmm. Big open world, lots of dudes to fight. They're all going to feel the exact same way.
But if
we do an open world game in old 1920s, the roaring 20s, where there's full of monsters, obviously different areas are going to be controlled by different types of monsters that are different types of shooting requirements.
Mm.
The Jersey Devils, that's just a normal human gang.
So,
but the werewolves, those guys also look like a normal human gang unless you're there at night, in which case they're big and scary.
Let me pitch you on something wild, because I think one of my favorite things about any sort of Monster Hunter game is, like, knowing that you need specific kind of gear to hunt them. So what I suggest is we take, like, a Monster Hunter style approach where you have your home base, your workshop, where you craft your weapons, you craft your ammunition, you craft your resources, and you only have what you can fit in your inventory. So, like, you will then be put in situations of, like, all right, I built my loadout to hunt werewolves, but while I was driving to the werewolf mission, a bunch of fucking vampires attacked my car. I don't have
have any stakes. You have no holy water on you.
Yes. So now it becomes like, all right, guess what? Now you need to get into a fucking car chase with some vampires, and you need to outrun the vampires. So, like, we kind of take that police sort of aesthetic, or that sort of situation in Grand Theft Auto games where it's like, you have 5 stars on you. Guess what? Now you need to run or fight them off.
Blake.
Yeah.
This rules. I'm going to add one wrinkle into it that it both at the same time creates this into a game that I desperately need and want to exist in the real world, but also a game that can never exist and thus should not be made.
Okay.
can we slap the Nemesis system from Shadow of Mordor into this game?
Fuck, that would be so cool.
Because the idea of you playing a video game where, like, narratively it is about you building out your family, fighting off the other gangsters, in a system where, like, you can be jumped by the werewolves and have no silver bullets. Uh-huh. But that is a tick towards the werewolves being like, cool, Johnny Werewolf, you know, the biggest werewolf of them all, he interacted with you an extra time and then got away because you had to run away from him.
Yeah.
Which means that now he's a stronger enemy.
Yeah.
And so, like, it is the idea of, like, how lucky the enemies are in jumping you when you don't have the required materials that could add into the Nemesis system.
And it makes them more it makes them stronger the next time they run into you. Or
exactly.
Or it could influence of, like, maybe they had, I would love, like, I love that in the Nemesis system, they would carry certain wounds you left with them.
You played more of Shadows of Mordor, so can you explain for the audience the Nemesis system a little bit?
So basically how the Nemesis system works, it's like any enemy out there can become one of your rivals if they get the one up on you and kill you. So your character is basically immortal, so you can die many, many times. When a random Joe Schmo orc kills you, they basically level up in orc culture because they're like, yeah, I'm the guy that killed him. I'm the biggest. I'm the strongest. And the crazy fucking thing is, you could approach that orc later, and if they kill you again, they rise even further up the hierarchy and just get more powerful and harder to kill. So, like, the more you fail, the harder it becomes to overcome that orc. And they all, like, get fun, unique, like, generated names. They carry wounds, like, from your previous fights with them. It's fucking fascinating. It doesn't really go any deeper, like, quest wise other than, like,
and we never will be able to get into it deeper because the game system has been trademarked.
Yeah,
which means that it's a mechanic that other games can't add in, otherwise they run the risk of companies suing them. Who owns that now, by the way?
Whoever owns the Shadow of War game. Ubisoft, I think. Again, Ubisoft, the bane of my existence. Unless it's not Ubisoft. It's not Deep Silver. Who the fuck else would it be? I don't know. It has to be a major company that has enough money to trade to fucking sue people for using it. I want to
Warner Brothers. Warner Brothers. Oh, Zaslav? Yeah. Zaslav, you son of a bitch. How'd you do this again? How did you ruin my Zaslav.
Who's Zaslav?
The Warner Brothers CEO, the dude that continues to be like, I've made art, and they're like, cool. And then he says, I actually decided that it's worth more money to can the Batgirl movie. It's more money for me to can the Looney Tunes movie. It's more money for me to purchase all of the exclusive IP rights and then remove them from HBO because I don't want to pay royalties. Zaslav owns so much, dog, and I cannot believe this man makes a living just keeping cool art from being touched.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We have a pretty impressive Patreon size. So, like, maybe we can use that to as our.
We'll just buy the Nemesis system. God knows Warner Brothers isn't making any more video games.
Yeah, I know.
Ever.
After Shadow of War kind of fucking tanked. I mean, it didn't tank. It was good, but it was like, it definitely reached the level of, like, after a while.
It just clicked for me that Warner Brothers does, in fact, own the Mortal Kombat and Suicide Squad stuff, apparently. So, apparently there will be more Warner Brothers games.
Yeah, but will we get more Nemesis System games? Imagine a Nemesis System in fucking the Suicide Squad game. Where, like, just some...
Cool. Honestly, dude, the Nemesis System works in just about any open world game.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so coming back to our game, the one wrinkle I want to add on to it is the thing that I kind of miss, I wish was in the Nemesis system, it had more narrative weight outside of, hey, here's the person that killed you once, and now they're a little bit stronger. I would
love... Yeah, what if the plot actually changed? Because, like, because you ran into a character 18 times and they kept on washing you, then that character takes over or interacts with the lead boss in some, like, dynamic way that changes the plot.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, it should...
Maybe not in any major way, but at least, like, the bosses that you have that are scripted would change to the people that have bested you.
That's what I'm thinking. And it's, like, there has to be... Of course, there will be some, like, scripted events where, like... the person is just like a way higher level than you and they just are always going to, it's like the scene from Devil May Cry 5. Like you can technically beat the first boss, but it's scripted for you to lose, you know? I kind of want to do something similar like that, but the way we make this world feel alive is like the heads of each household or each gang is like changing based on like who kills you. So, or who bests you or something like that. Or, like, maybe there's, like, an invisible, like, maybe that you can be driving and you can come across, like, a fight between, like, two rival gangs or two rival monster gangs. And whoever wins that fight controls, like, the influence of that specific gang in the world. So, maybe there's stuff actively going on around you. Like, let's take from... what's it called? Helldivers. Helldivers 2. Like, they have that whole system of, like, what percentage of this planet is, like, purged or not. So maybe everything operates on a percentage, like, percentages that are just going on outside of you. You can contribute to it, but, like, they are going to be fighting their own battles, and the world is gonna be operating on its own system.
So then, does the game give us the map control scheme that we get out of a Assassin's Creed, out of a... what's the one where you fly? Just Cause, out of a
Far Cry, where you
Saints Row, Far Cry, yeah, where like there's a map that you are trying to get more and more zone control out of.
I mean, that feels like a good way to motivate people to go to every new location. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and that would also like you can go to like. I'm picturing this as...
But I love the idea that you can start to lose.
Yes.
Again, you lose in the same zone. You let somebody get really powerful. That really powerful person's going to start, like, taking over more areas.
Yeah, doing more.
And then, of course,
this
in turn will lock you out of progressing the main story point. Because you can't do the next main story mission unless you control 49% of the map.
Yeah.
But oops, you lost to Johnny Werewolf again. And Johnny Werewolf took that neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So now you only own 47%. So you got to get back in there, take over your area again. And then you can take on the next story mission.
What if like...
And so there is like this level of like the responsibility of having more turf means that like you have more to lose and more frustration when you do end up losing later.
I like this. The other question I have is like, are we assembling like people to be like part of our army? Is that kind of the route this game is going, where it's like you start off as like the lone person against the world, and then like as you gain more control or more area, like you get more people into your like secret like monster fighting force? Or is it like,
yes,
only
hey
you?
You remember how we our first springboard was the Order 1886?
Yeah
I'm not joking. I want the Order 1992.
Yeah,
or 1926. You are the Order. You're growing the Order again. You are trying to get people to join up for you.
Okay.
And hang out with you and be in the Order TM.
And I'm also imagining like you can build this as like an ensemble thing where as you control more area, you get like new people added to your team that like, hey, you get the scientist character, you get like the medical person or like
your medical person narratively comes out of like a vampire turning on the vampire forces to join you. Ooh. But if you had been dropping the ball a bunch in the vampire area, then once you hit that plot point, that boss was swapped in for your rival character. And so the asset, like the character design that's used in all the cutscenes and the name, is just the name from the person that was your rival or like grew in the nemesis system. You see what I mean?
Oh yeah. And the way we get behind this is like, so that way everything can be fully voice acted, is like every head of the household has a moniker. So it's like,
We don't have to change any of the dialogue. They keep the moniker when they join the team.
Yes. Like, hey, here's the Night Haunter, or like, here's the, what's like some other like
seed? The count.
That's stupid. All right, AJ, it's coming up on the end of the episode. I'm assuming this one's our nug because like
I think this is our nug.
All right.
How do we feel about Gabagool 1926?
I think the Roaring Twenties is like way better.
The Roaring Twenties is pretty good.
I think we should go the Roaring Twenties. We're fighting werewolves in the 1920s, man.
The Roaring Twenties it is. That, my friend, is a game.
That is a game. Are we ready? Are we ready for patch notes?
I'm ready for patch notes. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Patch Notes. I'm sure you're all wondering after this episode, I have so many thoughts after listening to these boys talk. Where should I put these thoughts down? I've got great news. You go over on our little Spotify page or our iTunes page or whatever page you're listening on, you'll find a little review button. You put your words in there. That's where Blake and I love to see words. Mm-hmm. Those are the words of God.
All right, if you guys have any fun video game submission ideas, send them to us on our email, our Reddit, our Twitter, or even on our Discord.
That's going to be it for today's episode. As always, thank you all so much for listening. Our intro and outro music is Cheap Shop by Anna Monoguchi, an excellent song from an excellent band for an excellent game. My name is AJ Hart.
And my name is Blake Rea.
This has been Spiritual Successor, and these are cool games
that should not be made.